It's Helping Hand, weekly feature we do here on HPR Friday afternoons. Helping Hand strives to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are learning about the Hawaii Food Bank. It is a privilege to have this returning guest organization, a very appropriate organization at any time of year, really, in the state of Hawaii with all the need that we've got going on. And what makes it special for us this time is we've got a new guest from this returning organization. It is the president of the Hawaii Food Bank, Gerald Shintaku, joining us now on Helping Hand. Hello, aloha and welcome, Gerald.
Aloha, Dave. Thanks for having us on board today.
You are so welcome, and what an honor to have you guys. It's a name that's just synonymous with doing good, and a lot of people might not. Sometimes when it comes, especially with food, distributing food, there are some organizations that are sort of receiving food from bigger organizations, and there's a methodology for how it gets distributed to those in need, which is often quite fascinating and not something that people on the average person is familiar with. So if you can, the Hawaii Food Bank, explain who you guys are and the way that the organization functions to support others.
Great. I'd love to. Yeah, we're basically a warehousing operation. You know, we take in donations, we purchase food, and we bring it into our big warehouse in Mapunapuna. And then we work with about 125 plus agencies across Oahu and Kauai who actually come in to either shop our place for food, or we actually deliver food to across, again, all over Oahu and Kauai. And they're the ones that actually go out there and touch the people that really need the food, the hungry people. Yeah, because of our location, it's very convenient for all the agencies to come to our place. We've got a 25,000 square foot warehouse. We have buying power through an association we call with Feeding America, which is a national organization that helps food banks across the country source food and share best practices. And so we work with them, and we're able to procure food that we can't get locally or that we need, as well as some produce that we might need from time to time. We procure food from the mainland, but the bulk of our donations actually comes from our local wholesalers, our suppliers, local farms that actually give us a huge amount of food that we need to take care of the people here of Hawaii.
And what incentivizes them to do that? I have a couple questions on that front. Does that get them a tax break, or is this food that would have gone bad that is just about at its expiration date? What inspires the donations to come from those sources?
It's a combination of what you just mentioned. I mean, there is a tax break for companies to do that. If there's an overabundance of produce, we'll take it. We can, distribute it out really nicely. If it's canned goods, they could be canned goods that might be, again, oversupplied, or it could be getting close to their code date. And so they'll donate it to us. And then there's organizations out there that have a history of being affected by the food bank at some point in time early on. And so they continue to give. I'll give you an example. Alun Farms is a great a donator of produce to us, a great produce company. As they migrated to Hawaii, they mentioned that the food bank helped their family out in early days. And so they remember that. And so they continue to give it to us, on a weekly basis. They give us pallets and pallets of produce that they'd either have to, bury under the ground or, do something else with. But they give it to us so that we can distribute to those in need. But they remember back when they were first coming to the islands, how we helped them.
Right. They reciprocating.
Absolutely. So we get examples like that throughout the community.
That's wonderful. And that's a great thing. And that's great that you point that out. And I also try to point out what the incentive is for businesses so that other agencies that might have food will consider joining this organization, because they realize there are benefits for them. Not only is it a feel-good thing, but it's fiscally viable, and it's something that will create a good impression in the community that your association, that you've associated with the Hawaii Food Bank by being a donor to them. Purchasing versus donation. Mm-hmm. What's the ratio? How much of the food do you end up having to buy?
Yeah, the bulk of it is still donated product. Mm-hmm. I believe it's still around 60 to 70% of the food that we get is actually through actual food donations. But the larger part of our of what we get is actually money. When we went through the recession a number of years ago, a lot of companies had to really sharpen up their pencils and look at their bottom line and say, hey, you know what, we really can't be, we have to do something as product gets closer to code date. or, you know, watch their ordering cycles and such. So we've actually had to, over the last 5 years, purchase more food than we ever have. So, but either way, it's good. I mean, it's product that, you know, if we have to purchase stuff, we can purchase food that we're not getting a lot of donations on, i.e. Canned meats. You know, we always have a shortage of proteins, you know, the spams, the tunas, the Vienna sausages. So we can go out and buy stuff like that. Canned meals, rice, you know, key items like that, we can go out and purchase when we don't have
enough. And it supplements the things that you've got donated.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
You generally are getting lighter amounts of those. That makes sense.
Exactly.
And the another interesting detail, you talk about the 125 agencies that you support. And again, that gets back to how I introduced you, that it's in a unique way that it functions. A food bank is basically kind of like a wholesaler that then puts it down into retailers, sort of, in terms of you guys get a bulk of food, then there's all these agencies that are sort of on the front lines of feeding the hungry, and you're supplying them. But you're just doing it in two parts of the state, huh? So is there a parallel organization for Maui County and Hawaii County?
Yes, the Maui Food Bank on Maui. And on the Big Island, we have the Hilo and the Kona Food Basket. So they do a very similar operation to what we do. We're all independent, so we share best practices and communicate to each other a lot. In fact, we do share, if we have an overabundance of products, we'll call them up and see if they need some.
Sure.
And on the other end, you know, the Big Island is, you know, agriculture is big there. So if they have an overabundance of produce or agricultural items, they'll call us and see if we could take some of that from them.
And how do you let's say there's more food stock available and you guys are going to help them or they're going to help you. And the same with how it works with Kauai. How does the food get between the islands? Is it shipped by ship or does it get on the air?
We ship it. Yeah, the most economical way to move the product is through ship. So we ship over. In fact, the Hawaii Food Bank Kauai branch is actually ours. So we do ship on almost on a weekly basis. We do ship food to Kauai to help the people on Kauai with
their
needs.
So that's a shipping container and you guys do that through Matson or something? Or how does the food?
It's through Young Brothers. Yep, Young Brothers, we put it in the shipping container and we get it over there.
Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah. That's something I didn't know. I had not thought of before. What is it, one day it takes to get there?
It depends on the island. I believe the Big Island's a couple of days. Kauai is, typically a day. And they have, you know, a shipping schedule every week. So we try to make sure that the product or the food gets there just in time for the ship.
Fascinating. And is there produce acquired from Kauai, too? I would assume there's some amount.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure looks like it'd be good to grow things when you're over there visiting.
Exactly. But we do supplement. Yeah. We also help Kauai, too.
Right. Yeah, right. And it makes sense. They probably still have deficits when it comes to the protein, like you were talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
So you end up having to do that. Mm-hmm. On the there's so much feel good that we've talked about so far in terms of how you operate. But the flip side is that the reason that there are 125 agencies and that you're putting so much food in shipping containers and getting it around is that there are a lot of people that you end up having to serve. And the last time when Polly was on, I thought I remembered it being, and I don't have the exact figure, but I thought it was something like 1 in 5 people in the state of Hawaii, in the Aloha state, which is basically 250,000 people, and you'll correct me if I have this wrong, are in need of service from you guys on a daily basis.
Yes, it's 1 in 5, 20% of the people here. I think it represents a little over 100,000 families, somewhere around 46,000 keiki and maybe about 47,000 kupuna or elders.
So it comes out to be about 250,000 people, right?
Yes.
If it's a fifth of the state, it's at least that much.
Exactly.
That's staggering. Is that a similar number? Not that you need to know this, but is that basically like around the country, organizations like yours that are doing similar work throughout the United States, are they also facing a 1 in 5 need or is that a typical or is this higher than normal?
Yeah, our numbers here are higher. On the mainland, the average is 1 in 7.
Ah.
And again, you have different pockets on the mainland, which might be
worse.
Exactly. But on average, it's 1 in 7. So in general, for the state of Hawaii, it's 1 in 5. And actually, the Big Island, I believe, is even worse than the 1 in 5. I think it may be 1 in 4. I don't have the latest numbers there. But yeah, again, it just depends on the pocket you're in. But yeah. It's staggering, you know.
Very. And as the homeless crisis has skyrocketed, and I've only lived here for 14, going on 15 years, and I walk, and I've worked in radio the whole time, and ironically, both of the stations I worked at were within a block of each other. Uh-huh. So I've taken the same route now for, you know, coming up on 15 years, uh-huh. and it just doesn't even look the same. Mm-hmm. And clearly, if I had living in another part of the island, you see even more upset. I mean, I come from Waikiki to here every day, so there's a certain paths I can take, and there the amount of homeless people that you see is really it's humbling. I mean,
yes.
It's hard to just feel good when you're walking to work, really, because every several feet there's another example of the world gone wrong, you know, and it's hard to see. Sometimes there'll be elderly women. You know, I don't have my mom, so I look at them and I just, it bums you out and you feel like, wow. And so we try to do a lot with homelessness on this program. And I guess I established that context for this question as that crisis, which has reframed the way people think about Hawaii around the world, the number one homeless crisis anywhere in the most successful country on the planet, and it's right here. Has that impacted the way that you guys operate in terms of helping out those in need?
Yeah, I think to some degree it has. You know, as we identify these homeless people and we try to get them into shelters, then the need for the shelter to have food falls on us to fill. So,
you provide to the shelters.
We provide to all the shelters, many of the shelters, including IHS and the Salvation Army and so on and so forth. But, you know, one thing with hunger, you don't necessarily have to be visible. You're not homeless. Mm-hmm. You could be in an apartment. You could be home. You could be living someplace. And it just happens that that certain month, you got hit with a big medical bill or you got hit with a car repair that you just is not in your budget. And when you look at all the expenses you have, Dave, you know, you have to pay your rent or else you get kicked out. You have to pay your utilities or you got another problem there. But food is one of those factors where you adjust based on your budget, you know, what's in your pocketbook.
It's different than the others.
Oh, like exactly. You know, am I going to go to a fancy restaurant to eat or am I going to be a little bit more conservative and do a fast food type of a deal?
Right.
Or, you know, but so again, there are many people that are invisible to us that are actually living in apartments and houses that we don't see and we really, you know, maybe we don't have the count for, but they have a need. And there's also people on SNAP or the food stamp system. You know, the first couple of weeks of the month, they're fine because they've got the government taking care of them. But as they get towards the end of the month and they start running out of their resources, then they come to one of our agencies and they get food to help supplement what they have at home.
So by the end of the month, is there typically a if you were to graph out how usage works for your service, I'm presuming that the graph just is a line that rises towards the end of the month.
Yes, there's a slight spike towards the end of the month. Exactly.
And I point out the homeless because it's really two different things, but they're related, right? Because you got people who are just economically disadvantaged who need the service of the food bank, period. There are people, as you wisely pointed out with your scenario, there are times in one's life where your resources could get tighter. Excuse me. And when those resources get tighter, you need to go turn to this. And then the other part of it is, as this crisis has grown, you pointed out all of the people who are helping those in need, they're coming to you for food. So it has taken a bite out of the resources.
Yes, it has.
To be able to help out with the homeless. And how have you also mentioned that over the last several years, the amount of, and you'll explain if it's a correlation or it's just a coincidence, but over the last several years, you said that the amount of food that you guys need to purchase versus donating has risen.
Yes.
Is that correlated to the homeless issue?
Not necessarily so. It mostly it correlates to the economy. As I mentioned, you know, as the economy took its downturn, the recession, exactly, you know, companies had to sharpen up their pencil. I mean, they're in business, you know, for the old bottom line. And as they sharpened up the pencils, then we saw a slight decline in the amount of product that was being donated to us. And thus, when people give us monetary donation, we love that too, because then we'll use that money to supplement or close the gap of what we really need between the purchases and the donations.
And for that funding, where does the funding come from?
The bulk of our funding still comes from individuals like you and I. You know, one thing, I've been in this job for a little over a year now, and it is just amazing at the support that the community, the people here in Hawaii are giving. They're so giving. That spirit of aloha just permeates. I'm in awe almost every day when I go to work. And it's pointed out to me that we have some donation from somebody. And it just, I'm just astounded. I'm floored. It's just amazing how people give.
It's a great thing, and it's a huge inspiration to hear that. That's fantastic to hear. Because there's so many ways, there's so many bad things that are happening, and in a lot of cases, even if you can't fix it, people can get involved to try to help out.
Oh, yeah.
And making a donation, making your company have an alliance with the food bank, mm-hmm. or coming in to volunteer, and we'll get to other ways that people can support you. Mm-hmm. In terms of the getting the food to you guys, is there like a truck mechanism? Is there an interesting behind the scenes in terms of how, because it's a fascinating, and with 125 agencies that are really on the front lines, you've uh-huh. painted a picture. These are the folks that are dealing with the worst homeless crisis there is. You're providing their food.
Right.
But you're also providing it for a lot of community food pantry sort of operations,
yes.
too.
Yes, exactly. There's a few food pantries. You know, one notable that might have come up in the media recently was Feeding Hawaii Together.
Right.
Located right in Kaka'ako. They've been there for over 10 years, taking care of the people in that general area. Taking care of there's a senior housing, low-income senior housing that's a couple of doors away from them, but helping those people out, and they just recently lost their lease. So they actually closed December 1st, and we're helping them look for another place where they can open up again, because they did have a food pantry, again, to help the people in that area.
What do those people do without that organization?
Well, we're seeing some spillover to some of the other agencies in the Palama, Kalihi area. And Moilili,
is there not another one right there?
No, not right in the general area. So, you know, the people have to travel. And again, we're seeing a little spillover, but I don't know if we're capturing everybody that was displaced by the fact that Feeding Hawaii closed down.
And that's still quite a few homeless in that general area, correct?
Yes, pretty tremendous amount of them, exactly.
So when it comes to them getting food, what's happening?
We're not really sure. We don't have a good handle on where they ended up, you know, going. They could be dumpster diving. Who knows exactly where they're getting food? But they need food.
Is it important to find, on this note, new food contributors on a regular basis? And when it comes to people who are hearing this and want to get involved with... Because you see a lot of food. You go to restaurants, it's a great example. There's a lot of food that just, because of the standards and the policies, they can't use it. It gets, you know, somebody... Two people, like you and I, let's say we have lunch and maybe we don't eat all our food, mm-hmm. and there's all this food. I mean, do you need more people to come on board as donors? And if you can, explain any important details that people need to know in terms of, wow, we have food. I wonder, would our food qualify for, you know, does it meet the certain needs that they have on either a technical level, mm-hmm. freshness requirements, nutrition? Mm-hmm. The floor is yours in terms of educating potential donors on what they need to know.
Sure, absolutely. You know, there's a constant need to find new donors. You know, I don't think there'll ever be a cure for hunger. Mm. It'll be a constant fight just because of what the need is. And we actually have a director of product resourcing. So his job is to go out through the community and look for new sources of food, whether it's a farm or a distributor or some business that deals in food that we try to link up with, so they can become regular donors of ours. Of course, we always are grateful for the regulars that we've had on our, you know, rosters for many years, but we're always looking for new sources to get more food. And we're actually looking for, you know, healthier foods, you know, more produce, more better for you types of foods, because again, you know, we just want to, you know, feed the people that need it. You know, obviously you have your basics, but also try to get some better food for you too.
Restaurants, is that who you want to hear from too? Do you want to hear from?
You know, smaller grocery stores, any distributors, farms. We're reaching out to some farms that we maybe have lost touch with over the past few years. Restaurants. There's large national companies that are in town that we haven't really had the contact with. So we're trying to nurture those relationships. But yeah, if anybody has any source, you know, you can look on our website or call our main line and get connected with our product resourcing guy. And he'll be happy to come out and visit with them and see if there's product there that we can use. And again, you know, we're a warehouse, so we bring food in. If it's donated food, we inspect it to make sure it's good and safe for people to eat. You know, we try to make sure that even if you need food, that we treat it with dignity. So we have, you know, strict safety regulations or food safety regulations in our warehouse, and we make sure that the food goes out is good to eat. You know, again, just, you know, we're not just throwing stuff out there for people to do.
It's impressive. No, it has to be healthy and safe, and that's a great thing to know that you guys take that kind of you take it very seriously. In addition to helping to provide food for you, and in addition to making donations that people can make or businesses can make, are there volunteer opportunities?
Yes, tremendous. We depend on so many volunteers throughout the year. You know, we only have 40 people on staff here on Oahu and on Kauai. And we go through a tremendous amount of food. We donate about 50,000 pounds of food a day. Mm. That's about 1 million pounds of food a month that goes out to those in need. It equates to about over 13 million pounds a year that we give out. So our 40 staff members are constantly working. There's a huge passion of the people that do the work there because that's a lot of hard work. Right. So we depend on volunteers. And on an annual basis, we get a good response from big companies in town, small companies in town that would love to, that love to donate their time to us. And so they come in for a couple hours, and we have tasks that, could last a couple hours to a half a day to a whole day.
So they run the gambit. So people yes. can come in at any sort of level, whether it's more office work, whether it's labor, if anyone is, I'm interpreting you, but if anybody mm-hmm. is interested in joining this operation with any amount of time mm-hmm. or number of employees, you'd love to hear from them and go over some options.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a big work day on Saturdays that requires 80 to 90 people to come in and spend about, 4 or 5 hours to help us pack senior food boxes to, we just did the holiday trolley at the ward, the warehouse where we had, 4 or 5 people a night help us man the trolleys that were taking people around to see the city lights. And so we need, small groups. We could use people in our office to help us with some of the, mailing of letters and folding envelopes and so on. So there's a bunch of stuff to do. If you're interested in that, we have on our website, there's a tab for volunteerism. And then again, or you can call our main line at 808-836-3600 and be connected with our volunteer coordinator.
Lots and lots of ways that people listening mm-hmm. can help out. Let me give some contact information for these courageous folks who are doing so much good and inspiring others to do good in what they're doing. HawaiiFoodBank.org is the website, and at it, there's a contact form so you can email them. If you're an organization, a person, you're concerned, there's a way you guys can help. You'd like to volunteer, bring a bunch of employees together every Saturday. Maybe you heard Gerald and were inspired and think this is a great team effort we could do. Maybe you've got food. You want to know if your food would count. Any number of skills that you want to offer them, the email would be a great way to reach them there at their website, HawaiiFoodBank.org. You can give them a call, as Gerald mentioned, 808-836-3600. They can be found on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Best of all, at HawaiiPublicRadio.org, our website, you can hear the radio feature, the full interview, get all their contact information, and get the same for all of our previous Helping Hand guests, all archived and waiting for you there. Any important things that we somehow forgot to cover, let's get them in there.
Dave, I just wanted to remind people, if they look at our website, we have other activities throughout the year, ways that they could also participate with the food bank and have some fun. We have a golf tournament in February. We have a great event called Great Chefs Fight Hunger. That's located, we have it right there at our warehouse in Mapunapuna, and we bring in about 40 or 50 different chefs and beverage companies to actually serve little samples of food to people there. So you can buy tickets for that. You can also find that on our website.
When is that?
That's on March 25th. And so we open up our warehouse, we clean it all up, and we have valet parking in front. And people can come in and try some great food, Roy's, we have Chai's.
What's it called again?
Great Chefs Fight Hunger.
And tell more about it.
And so you can purchase tickets online right now. In fact, you can buy tickets or tables. And
what does it cost for a ticket?
I believe it's about $150
per person.
Yep.
And then when you get there, it's all you can eat and drink, and
exactly.
You're just walking around checking out. How many different? 40 different.
All 40 different beverage and restaurants around town. We're trying to get some of the established ones here as well as some of the new ones that are coming into town. But it's a great way to sample some neat foods.
And it's a great, I'm assuming, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, if people want to volunteer, you're going to need volunteers to help work that. It's a great way for restaurants to get involved with that event. So you're putting another light bulb kind of out there for people to, to get onto.
Sure.
And the golfing in February is?
I believe it's February 17th. It's President's Day weekend. But it's a great, it's an awesome event. And then we have our big food drive. Our food drive that, you know, is going to happen on April 15th this year, tax day, which we're at about 8 or 9 different locations across Oahu. We have a few locations on Kauai. I know Maui does it. The Big Island does it. But that's our big food drive for the year. And then in May, we have the National Association of Letter Carriers food drive. These are our post, you know, people, post office people that put the little blue bags in your mailbox. And they'll collect it on, I don't know what time. It's, I think, sometime in May. You put it by your mailbox, they'll collect it, they'll bring it to the food bank, and that's another tremendous source of food for those that need it.
A lot of ways you guys offer.
Yes.
A lot of ways to help out the 1 in 5 of our neighbors.
Yes, absolutely.
That need this on a regular basis. It is Food Bank President Gerald Shintaku, very informative, and man, they picked the right guy for this job because you really have a lot of facts and information. You present it really well. Thank you so much for what you're doing on behalf of all those folks who really need a break and who are getting a break from you guys. The door is always open if there's ever you want to come back on. You have an emergency. You have something that you think that getting a shot, another appearance on Helping Hand will help you with. Do not hesitate because it's a real honor to support what you're doing.
Thank you, Dave. No, thank you for helping us get the word out. And I wish you a very happy and prosperous 2017.
You too, brother.
Thanks, man. Aloha.